Welcome into the Unnamed MMA Podcast. I'm Adam Abdallah. With me, as always, Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at WoodOnESPN1000. Follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah. Get all of Jordan's picks, FatJackSports.com. I hope you went to Fat Jack Sports last week, because last week, you know, things happen, man. I feel like this happens to us every year during spring break, where it's like, we're like, yeah, we're going to do this. And then it's like, no, you're out of town. I'm gone. I've got days off. You've got days off, all that stuff. And then we come back after spring break, and it's like, all right, sorry about that, everybody.
Yeah, we didn't really collaborate and figure out. The problem was, a little bit, was the White Sox. You know, they have opening day on the Thursday.
Yes.
So that means my day is completely washed out. Unless we were going to do something, you know, at like 5 a.m., which, okay, fine. Maybe we could have gone above and beyond for all of you out there, but we didn't. We decided to be selfish.
Yeah.
And so opening day got in the way a little bit. But, look, we're back. We're back, and we're better than ever. We're ready for another fight card, an awesome fight card at the Apex.
No, it's not. Don't lie. This is crap. There's a couple good fights on here that we'll go over in a little bit. Mostly, we're just going to kind of skim over this main card here for this UFC fight night at the Apex. And then, you know, the big one next week, it's a great card, UFC 314. We'll talk about that a little bit. But we will go to some news here from the news, dog. Last night, I feel like this is how Dana White is going to do things. You'll get a tweet, something on Instagram that'll say, in a little bit, UFC... It's Dana White is going to go live on Instagram and announce a bunch of fights. And that's exactly what he did. He took to Instagram and he talked about UFC 316, which is coming to us on June 7th. And that main event is going to be Mirab Dvashvili against Sean O'Malley 2, is what was announced yesterday. So Dvashvili against O'Malley 2. O'Malley says he's, you know, he's still undefeated. He said he still holds the title, even though he's 18-2. Dvashvili has the belt. And so we're going to get to see that rematch. Should be another good fight. But yeah, this is what was announced yesterday.
And this is what got me going, got me really irritated. And I get the fact that Sean O'Malley is one of the bigger UFC stars. People do stop and get together with their friends, go to their local establishment, and want to watch the Sugar Show. They know who Sean O'Malley is. So I get the fact that, like, you know, maybe Mirab wants to take the fight and is willing to take the rematch because he's going to get some pay-per-view points, and it's going to be a lucrative opportunity for him to fight. My problem is that I would have preferred, maybe I'm a traditionalist. People that know that listen to the podcast, you know that I'm a traditionalist. I would have preferred to see Sean O'Malley earn his title shot back. I would have preferred to see him fight in a number one contender fight against one of the top tier bantamweights to prove to me that Sean O'Malley is still championship worthy. Because the issue that I have is, look, he lost fair and square, no controversy. He got dominated by Mirab Dvashvili. And then what does Mirab do? Mirab goes on and defends his title pretty much on short notice in a situation he didn't want to be a part of against the unbeaten Umar Nurmagomedov, and humbles him, takes away his O, and hands him his first loss. Meanwhile, Sean O'Malley, yeah, he was recovering from hip surgery, but he's sitting there on the sidelines and now immediately jumps into a championship title fight. So that pisses me off. That irritates me. I don't like the guy anyways, so maybe that's a little bit of that coming out as well. But I'm entitled to my opinion,
you think?
And I'm frustrated about the fact that we're getting it. So, fine, we get it. I understand it. I'm actually more interested in the co-main event that also got announced, and that'll be a women's championship bantamweight title fight between the champion, Juliana Pena, and Kayla Harrison. And Kayla Harrison is the female star that the UFC has been pining since Ronda Rousey left and decided to hang it up. And if Kayla Harrison does what she probably will do and is expected to do, go out there and dominate Juliana Pena, become the UFC women's bantamweight champion, and then go out there and throw out the challenge to Amanda Nunes, because that's still thrown out there that she's semi-retired. She's not fully out, you know, 2 feet out the door. Get her coming back, and that could be the biggest women's fight ever made in mixed martial arts history.
Yeah, no, I think that they're both good fights. I agree with you that the co-main event, it's good. And yes, you're right that you know, Kayla Harrison is the next one in line there. But I kind of disagree with you on the Dvashvili O'Malley fight, because Dvashvili did have to take that. He didn't have to take that short notice fight. He could have just said no, but he didn't. Like, there's been fighters, we've talked about it for years doing this podcast, where fighters just go, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not taking that fight. I believe, and we saw it with, you know, with Pereira and Ankalaev, that when you lose your belt, there's always a second fight. There just is. That's the way it works. You lose your belt, rematch. And then if you lose the rematch, then it's over. But if you win back your belt, maybe there's a part three. You know, maybe there's a trilogy fight. Like, that's just how this works. People want to see that kind of stuff. And I think that that's what's going to happen. Like,
they want to see it because it's Sean O'Malley. Because your boy, Leon Edwards, didn't get an immediate title shot back.
No.
Like, he didn't get a chance to reclaim his championship.
My guy,
so,
Leon Edwards.
I'm kidding. So, and look, it depends on the fighter. And again, Sean O'Malley's getting this shot, getting this opportunity because he's Sean O'Malley. Mm-hmm. Because he moves the needle. Because people care about him. And that has anything to do with what he's done inside the octagon. It has everything to do with what he's done outside the octagon. He has not shown that he is worthy of a immediate championship rematch. He got dominated. Merab Dvashvili was kissing him midway through the fight of how much domination that Merab was doing. And look, Sean O'Malley, fine. He's going to sell tickets. He's going to sell pay-per-views. Merab's going to make a shit ton of money. Mm-hmm. And if, God forbid, Merab gets knocked out or he loses his fight, yes, there will be a trilogy fight. I get it. I just don't have to like it. I just want Sean O'Malley to prove himself inside the octagon, because quite frankly, I don't think he ever has, even though he was the bantamweight champion of the world.
I mean, he's 18-2. He's kind of proven himself.
I know, but look, he got knocked out by Chito Vera.
Yeah.
He beat him. Chito Vera won that fight. Mm-hmm. He controversially won the fight against Peter Yan. I think you could argue that Yan won the fight.
Okay.
Most people do. And then, fine, in his first title shot, he takes on Chito Vera. And look, I love Chito. He's a great fighter, but he ain't a championship-worthy fighter. Mm-hmm. And he got smoked. He got dominated from start to finish in the rematch.
Yeah, I see your point, but I also understand what's going on here. You know what I mean? Like, why this is happening. Why we're getting a second fight away.
It's happening because the UFC always needs stars.
Yes.
They also are probably looking at a new TV deal, trying to find a suitor, you know, a partner for that. Maybe it's going to be Netflix in 2026. Maybe it's not. Who knows? So, yeah, they need stars. They need Kayla Harrison to have the championship in the women's bantamweight division. They probably need Sean O'Malley to be champion of the bantamweight division. They need Alec Pereira to take back the throne at light heavyweight, or somehow get Aspinall and Jones to fight each other at heavyweight.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. They need stars. Because when we look at this week...
Oh, God.
let's just kind of skim over this. I mean, the odds for all these fights, I'm seeing -265, -265, -350, -140. Okay, that's a decent one. -250 and -340. These aren't going to be very good fights. I think the best fight on here, despite the odds, you tell me if I'm wrong, is Brad Tavares against Jarrell Meerschaert. That might be the best fight on here, just stylistically, because you've got two dudes that have been in this combined 85 fights total between these two. You know, this, I think you've just got two veterans that are going to fight. Tavares is -260. Meerschaert is +195 on that one. And then I mean, obviously the main event is probably going to be somewhat decent. Josh Emmett is +250 and Lerone Murphy is -340. So just kind of like overall thoughts on this, some plays.
Well,
what do you think of this?
It's GM3 week. It's GM3 week. I love Gerald Meerschaert. Mm-hmm. I love, because he's a kill or be killed type of fighter. I've got personal relationship. He came on my show Inside the Cage back when I was hosting that show in South Florida. Then Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike made fun of me because he was like, "You got Shart on coming on the show?" Well, I'm like, "Oh yeah, we got Shart coming on the show." But GM3 and GM3 also is a consistent underdog cash. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is a guy that does what he does best. He has the most middleweight submission wins in UFC history. He is a guy that if it gets to the ground, he is likely to win a fight. The problem is against a guy like Brad Tavares, who's also, you know, been in the UFC forever. He's been in with the who's who of the middleweight division. It's actually quite surprising that both of these guys haven't crossed paths at all throughout their UFC careers. very good kickboxer, guy that's very tough to take down, a guy that has never been submitted in his mixed martial, in his UFC career. So tall task, tall ask from GM3. If anybody's going to do it, I guess GM3 is going to be the guy to do it. But can he get Brad Tavares to the ground? Can he avoid the striking and win that battle? That's going to be, I think, a tall ask for Mearshart. I do like the fact, though, I heard that Bilal Muhammad's going to be in his corner. Hey. That GM3 spending a lot of time in Chicago with him under that tutelage. So the grappling is going to be grappling heavy. Maybe a little bit of concentration on the stand-up. But I think this is likely going to be not a play for me on FatJackSports.com, at least as we're recording this on a Wednesday. I might pull something later, you know, come fight night. Maybe as I'm on my way to Yorkville to hang out with Chris Bleck on Saturday night for the Yingling event. Well, look, you're not hosting the event.
No, I would say, hey, like, good. Like, that's good.
I got a little bit of tone, like, it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll pull, because look, Brad Tavares is 1-4 in his last five fights. I think three of those losses have been finishes. And the one win is against Chris Weidman. Mm-hmm. And Chris Weidman is now a part of the GFL. Like, anybody that's in the GFL now, not good. All right? Well past their prime. So if that's Brad Tavares' last win in his last five, I'm not so sure. But it's just, again, the tall ass of GM3 being able to win the fight that he wins fights, submit guys. Tavares never been submitted and very tough to take down. So, yeah, I would say that. But I think the most interesting fight is twofold. It's Joe Anderson Brito versus Pat Sabatini. Mm-hmm. Brito's going to come in like a house of fire because he definitely controversial lost his last time out. He is a jacked up Brazilian that has a lot of power but also can rely back on his grappling. Pat Sabatini is a guy that is a credentialed Division I All-American wrestler and also a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt. So one of the best grapplers that we have, but is 1-2 in his last three fights, and I think those two losses were via knockout. Our good friend of the show, Dean Thomas, has said that Pat Sabatini is ready. Pat Sabatini is going to win this fight. He's been on the record saying that.
Wow.
I disagree. I think Brito's going to win this fight. I think he's going to touch up Pat Sabatini and probably get him out of there inside the distance. So, yeah, to take that 250 down, that price that I'm looking at right now for Brito at 250. And
Brito by knockout at plus 130?
Yeah, plus 130 I think is certainly a good play. Although I could see also like a club and slub type of deal for Brito. So, because Brito to win by submission is plus 750. Brito,
yeah.
Where's Brito inside the distance here? I got to find it. Brito decision. No, Brito inside the distance is plus 110. So,
okay.
Maybe that's a little bit of a safer play, but I think Joe Anderson Brito wins the fight and is not going to be threatened by the grappling acumen, if you will, by Pat Sabatini, and you know, gets the win via finish, mm-hmm. You know, in this fight. And then, like, outside of that, on the main card, like if you're starting, I think you probably are building out a little bit of a parlay.
Oh, I am.
Kennedy.
Okay.
And, well, I mean, I just talked about. I just talked about Joe Anderson Brito winning the fight. Kennedy and Jekwu, I think, wins his fight at heavyweight. Martin Boudet is like a moving glacier. Like, dude is just has to cut weight to get to 265. Like,
Jesus.
It's a really struggle for him to do it, and he moves like methodically like a glacier. And Jekwu, who fought it at 205, but now is up at in the heavyweight's spot, I think really has looked solid in that position. And I think to cut that minus 350 price down, Kennedy by knockout is certainly a play that I'm going to look at.
All right, Kennedy by knockout there in this heavyweight fight is plus 155. So I like that. So right now in our parlay, we've thrown Kennedy and Jekwu in there, and then also Brito is in there right now.
Yeah, a lot of people also are very high on Chang Ho Lee. He was on the road to the UFC, so that was, you know, the Asian version of the Ultimate Fighter. So this will be technically his UFC debut, mm-hmm. but very big fighter for his division, powerful strikes, shown some grappling, and Cortavious Romeus, great name, by the way. No nickname involved, just that's his name.
You don't need one.
Yeah, known really more for his submission prowess, and I think he's going to struggle to get Holy on the ground and control him there. So I think Lee's safe to put also into our parlay, make it a three-team parlay.
All right, our three parlay right there. Brito and Jekwu and Ho Lee right there is plus 200 right there, plus 206.
That's good. Three legs.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all, for sure. Right. And then in regards to the main event, I mean, Lerone Murphy is literally the featherweight version of Leon Edwards. Like, a guy, look, not going to bat an eye at his record. He's undefeated. He's 15-0-1. Mm-hmm. But just, like, hasn't really been impressive in his UFC, you know, career. He utilizes his fluidity from a striking standpoint, avoids danger, works in takedowns when he needs to. And he's gradually, like, beaten, like, you know, guys in the featherweight division that have some, you know, credibility. Like Edson Barboza, that was his first headlining spot, and he won the fight. Then he fought Dan Ige, and we know how tough Dan Ige is, and Lerone Murphy won that fight. And now he's taking on Josh Emmett, a guy that fought for the interim championship, a guy that's, you like him a lot because he's known for almost killing Bryce Mitchell.
I cannot wait for that.
Well,
next week.
I mean,
we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. So, but he's got very, very good power. Like, maybe he might be the most powerful striker in the featherweight division, but he's 40 years of age now. He's being asked to, once again, even though he has good cardio, go five rounds with a guy that just avoids damage and avoids trouble. And I think Josh Emmett's going to struggle to find the chin, find that winning formula against Lerone Murphy. So, it's not a sexy pick, but it's probably Lerone Murphy via decision for me. I'm not sure that he gets Josh Emmett out of there. So
that's even money at plus 100.
Okay, so yeah, it probably in that regard, because I just don't think – I think we're getting kind of a boring kickboxing match between these both of these guys come main event time.
All right, I'm telling you right now, I don't have a prop of the night. I'm not even wasting time on
Kennedy by knockout. Kennedy by knockout? Plus, what did you say? It was plus 155?
Yeah, okay, fine. We'll go with the big boy.
Okay.
We'll go with the big boy. Kennedy by knockout, plus 155. I like that. All right, you've convinced me. That's my prop of the night. We've got our three fight parlay here, Brito, Kennedy, and Lee right there. That pays plus 206. And some quick fight, some quick plays here. Kennedy by knockout, like you mentioned, and then Brito by knockout at plus 130 and inside the distance at plus 110. And then Murphy by points at plus 100. But we are all getting ready. This is just the appetizer, like we normally say, here for next week. Next week, April 12th in Jamaica. Volkanovski in Jamaica.
UFC. Wow, they got a venue in Jamaica that could host this card?
Miami, Jamaica.
Miami, Jamaica.
Yeah. UFC 314, Volkanovski against Lopez. This should be a great one. Volkanovski here, the favorite, minus 150. We've talked about it. Volkanovski, is he still the same Volkanovski after getting knocked out like a couple times? Like, I don't know. I like the way Diego fights. Like, I think this is going to be a really good fight. I mean, this card is stacked. You know what I mean? You've got Michael Chandler against Paddy Pimblett, which I saw some of obviously they haven't done the main press conferences yet, but they're just doing like the introductory press conferences. And it's weird to see Paddy be like respectful of his opponent, because Chandler was like, yeah, I'm old. He's like the next guy. Like, you look at his record, and he was just like, yeah. And Paddy was like, yeah, I'm going to beat him, but, like, I like the guy. Like, it's weird to see him be so respectful. He's minus 160 on the money line. You've got Bryce Mitchell, who hopefully gets the crap kicked out of him against Gene Silva, who said he's going to beat him so bad he's going to relearn that the earth is round. He's minus 340 on the money line, and I think we're going to bet that him to win by knockout most likely, right? For Silva to beat Bryce Mitchell by knockout, I think we'll go with that one at some point. You've got Patricio Pitbull against Yair Rodriguez, Dominic Reyes against Nikita Krylov, and then that's just the main card. The prelims, you've got Jim Miller, who's plus 400. I get it. He's a huge underdog, but Jim Miller's on this card. You've got Dan Ige's on this card, who you just mentioned. You've got Julian Arosa on this card. Like, this is a great card next week.
Yeah, it's sick. They've done a very good job of making it consistent. I don't know if we necessarily have like that big time, huge main event in Volkanovski and Diego Lopez. I think Diego Lopez can become a star. I think this is his platform, his opportunity to do that and put a guy that was considered maybe the greatest featherweight of all time in Alexander Volkanovski on his resume. What is Alexander Volkanovski going to be like now? It's now a year. It's been a year since removed from him getting sent to the shadow realm by Ilya Topuria.
Mm-hmm.
So has he recovered? Is he still the same fighter, or is he not after being in war after war? And is he going to be able to take on, you know, now this young gun, this guy that's coming in as a house of fire and has been going through, you know, every single thing that's been put in front of him in the featherweight division? But Volkanovski is a very difficult puzzle to figure out because he's got that healthy combination of just athleticism and power and grappling and kickboxing. It'll be very interesting to see, you know, certainly how that plays out. I agree with you. I think Paddy Pimblett, if Paddy Pimblett's the guy that we think he is, and look, he's definitely shown some evolution, although he's had some duds inside the octagon. We've also questioned his ability to leave his chin up in the air. You do that against Michael Chandler, you're going to sleep. Michael Chandler, very similar to what I said about GM3, kill or be killed type of attitude, puts himself in danger to put his opponents, you know, certainly in danger. So very interested to see that matchup, if Paddy Pimblett can take the next step. Yeah, you're right about John Silva. I hope he just demolishes Bryce Mitchell. I hope he knocks him out, and probably I'll be betting mostly with my heart in that one.
I think a lot of people will.
Silva by knockout in round one. Silva the win and knockout, you know, by round one, everything else in between.
See, Silva seems like the kind of guy that'll play with him, though, for a little bit, and then, like, let this go, drag this out, and then knock him out. Like, really be mean to him.
Right, sure. But I think you do have to also, you know, understand, like, Bryce Mitchell probably has, if he doesn't have an advantage on the ground, it's a wash. Like, Bryce Mitchell is a very good grappler and a guy that understands, you know, how to win, you know, fights when it gets to the submission standpoint. I'm just not sure he's going to be able to do that because his striking has never, you know, caught up with him. And look, and everything else that he's now having to deal with and explain. And rightly so.
Explain, like, what? He's doubling down on everything.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, all of his attention, he's not in the gym. He's not in the gym. He's recording podcasts. Yeah. He's coding interviews. He's having to go on TV and explain why he's an asshole.
Yeah.
So outside of that, I'm definitely going to be also very interested to see, you know, what we get out of Patrici Pitbull and his debut. This is a guy that's probably one of the best fighters that has been fighting outside of the UFC forever. He's 36-7. He's had, you know, very impressive wins. He's fallen on a little bit of hard times of late. That's because he's getting up there in age. And, you know, in regards to his opponent, Yair Rodriguez, almost the forgotten man in the featherweight division. And I think it's because he's coming off of two losses. He got stopped by Alexander Volkanovski. He got submitted by Brian Ortega. But still a guy that I think probably was given the opportunity to fight Max Holloway a little bit too early in his UFC and mixed martial arts career. This is a guy that defeated the aforementioned Josh Emmett for the UFC interim featherweight championship. He did defeat Brian Ortega, even though Ortega was hurt, but he did beat him. So very interested to see how that one plays out. And then, as you mentioned, Julian Arosa, he's fighting Darren Elkins. Like, that fight is going to be fucking bonkers for as long as it lasts. So I'm excited for that entire fight card.
Yeah, it should be a great one. And then obviously, I know it's not in Jamaica. I know it's in Miami. But it's funny to me that ESPN puts it as the Kaseya Center, Miami, Jamaica. Like, that's on the ESPN.
Oh, really? I'm, look at it. I'm going to go to it right now.
Go to the page where it says UFC. Yeah. It says Jamaica.
Yeah, it's in Jamaica. Sweet.
Like, I know the Kaseya Center, like, I know that's where the Heat play, like, I know that. It's just funny to me that they put that on there. Like, and then you do a Google search of it, and it says it is not located in Jamaica. Like, like, it goes out of its way to say it is not located in Jamaica.
Not located in Jamaica.
Yeah, so that should be a good one, despite how bad this one is. Obviously, we'll have a much more thorough breakdown of UFC 314 when we get together next week for a podcast. So we've got some plays in this one. We'll have obviously more plays for UFC 314 in the next one. I'm sure by then Dana White will go on Instagram Live again. We'll have more breaking news fights to go over with the news dog. But if you want all of Jordan's picks, it is a Wednesday. So if you want all of Jordan's official picks for this weekend, go to fatjacksports.com. Sign up today. You've got the Final Four coming up this weekend. You've got baseball. Soccer's been red hot. There's games where it's Wednesday. There's EPL games going on right now that you could be making money on, but you're not because you're not signed up. So go sign up, fatjacksports.com. He's Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at Wood on ESPN 1000. I'm Adam Abdallah. Follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah. We'll be back next week to preview UFC 314 on the Unnamed MMA Podcast. Thanks for listening.